Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey, our executive producer, as well. I'm with Bob. The Royals should sign Juan Soto. If they do that, I'm all in. I have a question real quick before we get into the Rich of the Week. Would you rather have Juan Soto or Blake Snell?
Blake Snell.
Wow, no, that was quick.
Now, Juan Soto, because you're the everyday player, but can I have both?
No.
Okay, one or the other?
No.
One or the other?
I think Soto.
Yeah. I think Soto's the best player in baseball right now.
Ooh, wow. Another touchdown last night, overturned by a toe.
Well, you got to have your feet in bounds. It doesn't count. Like, just because you're almost in. Almost doesn't count except horseshoes.
I also don't agree with this statement from the 816. Vinny Pasquantino will be blocking the kid, Jack.
No, I don't think Vinny's blocking anybody at this point in time. But again, you know, like, I shouldn't say care about the individual player, because you do, you like individual players, obviously. But once the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill, everybody on both organizations, with the exception of Witt and Mahomes, are expendable players. And if trading Vinny Pasquantino can make you better, then you trade Vinny Pasquantino. He's not untouchable. Same thing goes with Brady Singer. If there's somebody out there that's going to make you an offer where you can get better, then you know what? You trade Brady Singer. My daughter last night said to me, she goes, Dad, because she's talking about her fantasy football team because it was Thursday night, so I was looking at her roster, and she has Tyreek Hill. She goes, imagine how good we could be if we kept Tyreek Hill. I go, well, we've won 2 Super Bowls in 2 years without him. She goes, yeah, but how much better could we have been? I'm like, really, not much. Not much at all, right? So the moral of the story is, you got Bobby. That's Patrick Mahomes. Those are the two guys you need. Everybody else is an expendable part. And you can't sit back this offseason and say, oh, we can't trade Vinny or we can't trade. No, you can. You can literally trade anybody in this town other than Bobby and Patrick. Everybody else is an expendable part at this point in time.
Fair enough. I wouldn't trade Cole Reagans.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
I think, but you know what? You got to sign Cole Reagans. And I would use this offseason to sign Cole Reagans like you did with Bobby Witt.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mac.
Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
All right. This is a segment we do every Friday at 9 o'clock. It's the Richard of the Week, where somebody's just been an absolute Richard, and they need to be called out for it. Mac, why don't you go first? Because I don't know if we're all going to be on the same page or all different, but Mac, why don't you go ahead and start Richard of the Week?
I mean, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Jazz Chisholm.
Oh, okay.
Who I got to boo last night because I was at the game. That
you
was
did
fun.
Boo? Did you double hand it?
I double handed it. I single double birded it. I did everything. It
you
was
birded
awesome.
It in front of your mother?
I did.
You kiss your mother with that mouth?
Yeah, his mother probably did it too. I know her.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, she probably
and her friends. Yeah.
Okay. That was fun. I mean, you brought it up earlier, Bob. I mean, that hatred, that sports hate, fuels a rivalry, and that was fun.
Yeah, it was. I like your pick. My Richard of the Week this week is going to go to Jazz Chisholm, and I think the reason why is because he is a Richard, and I'll even take it one step further. Richard of the Week this week, the entire Yankees. The scene in the locker room after the game as they were spraying Jazz Chisholm with champagne and booing him like we did last night out at Kauffman Stadium. And I got to be honest with you, I like it. I love it. I enjoy it. And I appreciate the Yankees doing that because that tells me the rivalry is back, baby. And for the first time really in our lifetimes, we now have a legitimate baseball rival. We had a fight last night with the bullpens emptying out, to which my daughter goes, why are these guys waddling out? I go, this is exactly what they do. They waddle out, they exchange phone numbers, find out where you're having dinner, and move on, right? And so we had that last night. We had Jazz saying the Royals got lucky. We had them taking it to the next level and booing Jazz as they sprayed him with champagne. He's saying they don't boo nobody. So Jazz Chisholm, you're my Richard of the Week. But you also helped ignite this rivalry that's sorely been lacking for the Kansas City Royals since the 70s.
My Richard of the Week is...
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know. I don't feel like anybody feels any different. You know, we're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
So, Jazz Chisholm is the Richer of the Week. It's unanimous. The text line was kind of on us before we even got there. A lot of people, one guy even said the same text like five times.
Right.
Jazz Chisholm, I mean, look, when you're a Richard, you've got to earn it. You got to lean into it. And Jazz Chisholm did exactly that. He said they got lucky. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. Maybe you got lucky. Not only that, you doubled down and you then, you rounded first in game three, grabbing your crotch.
Yeah.
And trying to get in the play of a pop fly at first base. Then you misquoted Reggie Jackson saying nobody boos a bum. You didn't get the quote right. You tried to put yourself in the category of Mr. October. And your name sounds like a substance that comes from somewhere else, from a Richard, actually. And not only that, you then thought you got walked last night. You flipped the bat at home plate. The umpire says, young man, pick that back up, and you struck out.
You were up 3-0 and struck out.
You did absolutely nothing. You didn't do anything except win and ride the coattails of the Yankees. Nobody likes you in Miami. Well, nobody likes anybody in Miami for their baseball team. You're riding the coattails of a Yankee team that has a stunning amount of superstars in that lineup. You haven't been relevant since your rookie year. And I love when people lean into the role of the heel, but you've also got to be productive in that route. Like, I wish that Giancarlo Stanton would do a little bit more of, like, being a bad guy, because that guy actually could have talked a bunch of smack on the Royals, because that man destroyed the Royals in the ALDS. Jazz Chisholm, you did absolutely nothing except be a Richard, even though I am ashamed to say, congratulations on your victory. You get to smell like champagne, but you're still this week's unanimous Richard of the Week.
Let me take it one step further. Can I put MJ Melendez into the Richard of the Week category as well? In a good way?
Oh, in a good way? Okay.
For playing Lucky when he walked up as his walk-up music.
Yes, I love that.
Like, to me, that's Bob Fesco in a nutshell right there. A total troll. And that, to me, was so good when that was his walk-up song this week. I thought that was great. So I'm going to put MJ in the category of Richard of the Week as well, because he leaned into it. You guys were at the game last night. Mm-hmm. You were hanging out in the crowd, Max. So was I. Dusty, you were working the locker room or whatever the hell you did last night after the game. You didn't go in to hear Matt Quatrero speak, which I don't blame you. You got the more important things to do in the locker room. We were driving home, and this is what we heard.
At what point do you think you might get some perspective? I mean, you're coming off first 100 loss team to win a playoff series the next year. I mean, clearly the franchise took a big step forward this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
When do you think that the emotion, the gut punch of losing this game will go away and you'll be able to reflect and move forward?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, that's not what I'm thinking about right now. I mean, I'm happy for the city. I'm happy for the organization that we did what we did this year. But, you know, it doesn't matter what other people thought we were able to accomplish this year. Our guys had bigger expectations for themselves, and that's how you should approach this game. You don't come here thinking, oh, I hope we get a little bit better. That's not how it works at the big league level. So I think it's okay that it sucks right now.
I love Q's answer, and I love him going, yes, that's true.
Yes, that's true.
What do you want to know here, sir? Q don't have any time for anybody's nonsense in these post-game press conferences, and I like that.
He also made it very evidently clear that he hates the question of last year's team had lost over 100 games.
It doesn't have anything to do with this year's team.
I made the mistake asking him in April when they had that winning month, and I said, you know, how does this month, you know, kind of help you guys see what you have now as opposed to only winning 56 games last year? He looked at me, he's like, yeah, last year's last year. We don't think about that. Yeah. We're focused on this year moving forward. And then I was like, okay, remember that, Dusty. This is a learning moment. Remember that. Don't bring up last year around Matt Quatrero. You might have to, you know, interview him once a week in case something got weird, you know, filling in with you guys or whatever. And then it turned out to be a daily thing here at the station. And then I started to, like, watch post games, and those people would make the same mistake I had. And as soon as you'd hear that question of how does this team just completely change the dynamic of the city after only winning 56, and you'd just be like, yeah, we're not worried about that.
Yeah, you got to stop with the last year stuff,
he
right?
He hates it.
At what point do you think you might get some perspective? I mean, you're coming off first 100 loss team to win a playoff series the next year. I mean, clearly the franchise took a big step forward this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Was that you or was that him?
I don't know.
At what point do you think you might get some perspective? I mean, you're coming off first 100 loss team to win a playoff series the next year. I mean, clearly the franchise took a big step forward this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Can you just give me a quote that says, you know, last year was not good and this year's wonderful, and I need to put it on the 10 o'clock news?
That's like being like, yeah, yesterday the sun, it rose in the east and sat in the west. Do you think tomorrow will be any different?
No.
No.
At what point do you think you might get some perspective? I mean, you're coming off first 100 loss team to win a playoff series the next year. I mean, clearly the franchise took a big step forward this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Love you, Matt.
I'm going to miss Wednesdays, man. I'm really going to miss Wednesdays.
Yeah, you have that, like, when they come off a winning season like this, you know, like, we missed Ned after that in 14 and 15, and you know, we'll miss Q on Wednesdays. We'll get him one more time. I'll get him out here. We'll get him in studio during the offseason. He lives here, so he's got nothing else to do.
Oh, heck yeah, that'd be fun.
Bring him and Mrs. Q in like we did last year. Have a party.
Bring them both in?
Oh, it was great.
Mm. Nice. 913-586-7965. We do our roundtable on the other side. Before we get to that, you can type in, text in, speak to text. What questions do you want Steven Spector to answer? That's who joins us on the roundtable. 913-586-7965. What questions do you have for Steven Spector, our boss, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports?
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
I'm now on my best behavior because my boss is sitting right in front of me, staring at me, saying...
I've been here all morning.
Oh. Okay, fair enough.
I'm not your boss for the next 30 minutes. I'm just a guy with takes.
All right. F you.
Spitting hot takes, Spector.
No hot takes, just takes.
That's right. Spec from the 816. Let's start it off.
Good morning.
Have you ponied up the lunches for the boys? I know they've gotten some subscribers on YouTube. I see the number going up. Don't cheap out. Take them somewhere nice.
Talk to me when we hit 3,000.
Okay. What are we at now?
2,500.
All right. So we need so all right, 500 more.
There we go. Subscribe. Just go subscribe and you get lunch.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine that told me that he, I'll shout it out, Barry from the J. He goes, I created 8 YouTube accounts just to subscribe so Spector would have to buy you lunch.
I said, well, thank you. Yes, 8 YouTube accounts.
I said, well, 8? Why? He goes, well, he listed why he's got 8 YouTube accounts, but he subscribed from every one of those accounts.
Because everybody forgets their password and just creates a new one. Hotmail, AOL, Gmail, yeah.
What can you even name 8 different Barrys?
Barry Manilow, Barry Word,
yeah,
Barry Sanders,
okay, Barry from the J,
The J,
Strawberry, Raspberry,
yeah, Daryl Strawberry, yeah,
Barry White,
Barry White's a good one, Barry White or Barry White. Barry White.
Oh, yeah.
B-A-R-R-Y, right? Barry okay, White, yeah. Yes. I think I'm going to go home now.
Spec sarcastic smile. He's in the same ballpark.
Is he there
is
too?
That,
yeah.
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds. Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah. It was like there had to be a Barry baseball player.
Yeah. Did we say Barry Bonds? Or Barry... Barry Usa.
Barry Zito.
Barry Zito.
Oh, man. Barry Zito. What a curveball.
So there's some Barrys for you.
I worked with a guy in Seguin named Barry, but I forgot what his last name is, but he passed away.
There you go. So let's start off the round table with Royals, and we can move into football and gambling. As a guy that runs a lot of stuff here, what did the Royals do for you this year?
You know, I heard you guys talking in when was your buy-in moment?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a really interesting question. So I had two.
Thank you.
One was March 26th when I put in all my futures on the Royals and they finally cashed this year because I've lost a lot of money in the last couple of years.
Are you even yet now on them?
This year helped.
It helped. Yeah. But still,
4-1 to make the playoffs was a profitable bet for the season.
Okay? Even Steven.
My other answer, and it was so early in the season, you remember game one, they lost to the Twins 2-1 in that really good Pablo Lopez, Cole Reagans matchup.
Yeah, opening day.
Yeah, Thursday.
Right.
Then they lost again on Saturday, and everybody had the same thought, oh boy, because remember they got swept by the Twins in 2023. They lost 3-4 to Toronto, and the season was over before Easter.
Right.
That Sunday, they beat the Twins like 11-0, and it just felt like a sense of relief. So it was that first Sunday game. I think they scratched like 11 against Bailey Ober.
Who?
Yeah, Bailey Ober. I remember because I had a
Bailey Ober the other day.
So that was my moment.
Yeah.
It was the first Sunday game. It was game three of the season. It was like, this felt different.
Bailey Ober?
Yeah. Well, I remember because I had a money line bet on the Royals.
Oh, yeah.
And the over. So it hit.
He saw the name of the opposing pitchers like over, yeah, over, over.
Yeah. Is that the last time he pitched? And I'm being serious. Like, I never heard of that person before.
I couldn't tell you. I haven't heard the name since.
Bailey Ober.
But yeah, it was the first Sunday game was the moment that I was in on the Royals.
Okay, that's good. That's early for you. I mean, for somebody who's negative about everything all the time, like that's early.
Yeah, but it stemmed the time. We always talk about how important April is, and the year before they lost 6 of 7 out of the gate, and they needed to do something that Sunday for the city to make sure. And again, there were 159 other games. They had plenty of other chances.
Right.
That Sunday felt bigger than a normal Sunday game three.
Because as you know, Steven, like everybody's waiting for that shoe to drop.
Always.
Including all of us. Because that's the way it's been, right? You're just like with this baseball team. And I said to Dusty and Brake, I said, I think, you know, some people were crying last night over the loss. And I'm like, this isn't a cryable loss. I said, the reason we've cried in the past when the Royals have lost and did all this stuff is because we didn't think they'd ever get back. Because that's the way it's always been. I look at it the same way, like we talked about, leaving that game against the Patriots, running out of that same going, this is the beginning. This isn't the end of something.
I mean, it's easy to say this now after they lost 3-1 in the series. I don't think they were better than the Yankees. And just given the last month of kind of chaos with Vinny's injury, the guys that were actually playing in the field, like Robbie Grossman isn't good. Tommy Pham is fine, right? This was not the team.
Right.
So I never thought this was like a World Series team. And again, I know that's easy to say after, you know, getting eliminated, but
boy, but they sure played like they were good with the Yankees, though, with the way their starting pitching was. It gives you an opportunity.
Yeah. The Yankees just had more guys.
No question.
And listen, the big three, they got unlucky, right? Bobby had never been that poor hitting for a 4-game stretch all season. That's just baseball luck.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny was clearly not himself, and I think Salvi just was in a slump.
Yeah.
Like, that's pure luck. And I know we can say the Judge didn't have a good series, but Soto's a tough at bat. Stanton was incredible. Wells is good.
Yeah.
You know, they just had more guys, and that's okay, but this is the beginning. This is not the end.
No, and that's why I'm not, like, sad. I'm like, this isn't like 14. We're like, oh, man, they lost, or 15, or, like, any of these moments. Like, you don't need to be crying over this, right? Like, I'm not telling you how to feel, but I think you should be excited about this, much like you were with Mahomes. Like, I think this is the beginning, and the reason I say that is for one reason and one reason only, John Sherman. He has shown that he's willing to invest in this team. We were always crying and upset with the Royals in the past because we knew we had an owner that was a cheap ass. There's just no other way to put it, and he wasn't going to invest in this team. John has shown he's invested in this team. Then they won. He wants to be a winning organization. He's from here. He doesn't want to be embarrassed at Hy-Vee when he's standing in line and people say your ball club stinks. So, I mean, this is a guy who I think the reason why you're not sad today is because ownership puts you in that position.
Yeah, and this kind of comes full circle to the question that Dusty just asked me. You know, I guess I am management, right? So growing up in my 20s and early 30s when I was on the air, just like a young kid, I thought sports was just about who had the better team, right? Like, I would always bet on Baylor to beat Duke because Baylor had better players, but Duke was way better coached.
Yep.
The thing that I've learned, I guess, in the chair that I'm sitting in now is organizations matter more than we think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders aren't 4-1 with Daniel Snyder as the owner this year. Like, I just believe that
I
for a fact.
I agree with that, 100%.
The Jets aren't good or bad because Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. That is a crap business and a crap organization.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And to your point with John Sherman, he's not going to let this go 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Right.
No way. Right? So that's to your point, like, I think that's why this feels really good, because you have a owner who's a local guy. You have an owner who's a baseball fan. Mm-hmm. You have an owner who showed he's going to spend money. Both sides of the parking lot are in really good positions organizationally. And if you look at, like, kind of the parallels between the two, Clark learned his lesson after 12.
No
right?
doubt. He became better.
John yes. Sherman, I don't think John Sherman learned his lesson after 23, but John Sherman wasn't going to go through 23 again.
Mm-hmm. And that was really his kind of first true year as owner yeah, of this franchise. Pandemic, work stoppage.
Yeah, it was insane. He took over at the worst time ever. Then you look at the GMs. Brett Veach, God, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
J.J. Piccolo, not Dayton Moore for all the good and all the bad, right? Then you have Andy Reid, best coach in football. Matt Quatrera is a steady hand. And then you have superstar. Like, the backbones of both organizations are as strong as they're ever going to be in this town right now.
And I think a lot of what's going on with the Royals is because John is such a big Chiefs fan and understands how that organization worked, and you follow great organizations. And I'm glad you bring up the point about, like, ownership and organizations. Organizations are bad because of their owner. Like, look at the bad organizations in all the sports, the perennially bad organizations.
Cleveland.
Yeah, right. Their owner sucks.
Carolina is not a bad football team. No. Carolina is a bad organization.
David Tepper is a bad person.
Right. Yes. Yeah. The Chicago Bears are a bad franchise because their ownership sucks. The Royals were a bad franchise, not because of Dayton Moore or Allard Baird or Ned Yost or Tony Muser. They were bad because David Glass sucked as an owner
Who's
of this franchise.
Who's that hockey organization that's that way? Is there one?
A hockey organization that's always bad?
No, that has, like, bad ownership because of
Arizona?
I guess. I don't know if hockey's on such a lower level than the other three sports. I don't know. I guess I don't know enough about hockey owners to answer that question.
I mean, and the Royals are really that prime example. When Ewing Kauffman owned the team, they were the premier organization in Major League Baseball, right? Then Ewing Kauffman died, and it became a mess. And now John Sherman has taken over, and it's going to become a premier organization in baseball. The teams that have success in sports are strong at the top with ownership. And the teams that don't, it's not the coach, it's not the quarterback, it's not the players. It's ownership. And if you're an owner of a team that's always losing, it's your fault, man.
Yeah, I heard, I think it was Mac talking about it 2 weeks ago when they benched Bryce Young. I don't think Bryce Young is bad. Like, 32 out of 32 teams would have drafted Bryce Young in the top five picks, right? He got drafted to the worst situation ever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think Bryce Young is very good because I think he's small and weak arm, whatever. Mm. But he got
Chad Pennington.
Yeah, he got recruited to the wrong team at the wrong time. And listen, the Chiefs struck lightning with Pat. Like, Pat, I think, was always going to be great, but Pat also got the benefit of a lot of things, which is what good organizations and good management does.
Do you think Mahomes would win a Super Bowl at this point in his career if he was with any other team?
No, because if he's drafted by the Giants, Patrick Mahomes is a mid
quarterback. Yeah, I would say 16 to 20 yes, 16 no.
Yeah, I think Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid were the perfect match at the perfect time for each other.
I think Pat's generational, so I think he wins Super Bowls with 24 of 32 NFL teams.
I also think the underestimating line of Patrick Mahomes' career is Alex Smith. I think that, you know, he was brought into a situation where it wasn't hostile. Like, you look at Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, like, when he first got in, obviously Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl because he was a top-tier talent at the time, but, like, they had kind of a weird chemistry with, like, are you going to replace this great Hall of Fame quarterback? Not yet, you are. You look at Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes' relationship, and it was like, hey, you have, like, this arm that is better than anything we've ever seen, but let me entice you on a better mindset of football. Here's what zone reads are going to look like. Here's how they're going to try to trick you. You can do what I can't, but you also don't have what I have, which is the mind of the game. And I think without that, we're not sitting here today talking about what could be the greatest quarterback we've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, well, Rodgers is a jerk and Alex Smith isn't. Like,
right.
I know that's a simplified version, but, that's all you really need to say.
Yeah.
Rodgers is football James Harden. Like, there are a lot of those guys in the league that are just losing players. And I know Rodgers has a championship, but
only one,
14
I mean,
years ago. And, you know, again, sometimes lightning strikes, but over time, There are just losing players, and Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys.
Yeah, he's not a winner. They don't win necessarily because of Aaron Rodgers right now. Look at what's going on with the Jets right now. He has crushed that organization. He has cost that people jobs.
Woody Johnson also has crushed that organization. Terrible owner.
Right, and look, the Knicks and the Rangers are the same way with Dolan. Why are the Knicks and Rangers always so bad? Their owner sucks.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
That's just kind of the way it is. So you put this season to bed, and you start to look forward. I mean, you know, this offseason, I think, can be a wild offseason for the Royals. I think you can make some trades. I think you can sign some players. I mean, you get Juan Soto and Blake Snell in here, and things are going to be good next
year. Sure, yeah, why not? That's simple. Right. I actually think it's going to be a very simple offseason. Look at the team, right? The infield is set. Five positions. Catcher's finished. First base is finished. Second, short, and third. All done. They need two outfielders. I think it's that simple.
Yep.
They need someone at the top of the lineup to hit in front of Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, and they need someone to mash. And I don't know if Jack Caglione, how do you say it? Whatever. Mm-hmm. He's not probably ready next year, right?
No. Right.
Maybe in 2 years, he's that guy. They need a table setter and someone who can then get the scraps after Salvi in the four hole.
Yeah, they definitely
need that. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you ever had a moment in sports in your life that you cried after a loss?
All the time.
Really?
Oh
yeah,
God!
I'm a crier though, so I cry at movies, TV shows, sports all the time.
What's the last movie you cried in?
Oh, I'll tell you what makes me cry now: League of Their Own. I'm not kidding. As a dad,
there's no crying in baseball.
I know, but when he sends his girl on that train and says goodbye to her, oh my God, as a dad, I start wailing.
I actually know the answer. So I flew to Salt Lake City in August, and I started watching Miracle.
Oof.
And I teared up. I mean, basically the whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Field of Dreams makes me tear up too.
Yeah. Any sports movie will get me, like, you know, Friday Night Lights when he puts the ring on his son's finger at the final scene. I mean, it's just waterworks. You've never seen the movie Friday Night Lights?
Never seen it.
Why do we always do that?
That just rubs me the wrong. That's my favorite sports movie of all time. Okay, so,
but why do we always do that? Why? I can't believe you've never seen that. No matter what it is. You never had a ham sandwich? You know, like, it's
like ham sucks, but yeah. What can you expound on that?
I just never got around to it. I heard so many people like you that have said it's one of the greatest movies of all time.
Because I actually think the book is overrated. I think the movie's way better than the book.
Oh, I thought the book was great. Like, when I first moved to Texas, I bought that book because I knew I was going in, and I thought the book was fantastic.
I love the movie.
I think Varsity Blues is miles ahead of that movie.
Well, you've never seen it, so how do you know?
I don't need to say that. I'd rather watch a movie like Varsity Blues than watch a movie like Friday Night Lights. I don't need to see Tim McGraw be abusive father duct taping his son's hands to the football. I don't like the lead actor. He was in Sling Blades and Tout or whatever the movies are that you've seen every single one, like CDOT with Fast and Furious. I just never really had, like, when it comes to movies, I have to have, like, I'm going to see that. And maybe I'll watch it this weekend and have a review Monday, but I've just never really cared to watch it. Somebody says a TV show is better than the movie.
I don't think that's true. I think the TV show is good, but wildly overrated.
We were talking about crying. I cried when Walter White died.
Seriously?
Oh, God, yes.
There's no way.
Oh, yeah. I was so, like, okay, so it was
Breaking Bad, so.
You haven't seen Breaking Bad!
Look, I watched it during COVID. I was 10 years late.
Breaking Bad's a great TV show of all time.
Yeah. I know.
But no, when he died, yeah, because.
Spoiler alert.
Was I supposed to cry last night? Is that why you asked the question?
Some people did.
Okay.
Pam called in crying.
Bawling.
You know? I didn't feel that emotion at all.
Bobby's eyes were clearly teared up.
My daughter said to me last night as we're driving home, 13 years old, and we're listening to Ryan and Denny, and you know, she says, you know, if this was a 2015 OG Royals, maybe I'd be upset, but this isn't the same as that. And she was 4, you know, back then when that happened, or
that's
3.
Definitely a Fesco child.
You know, and I'm like, yeah, I totally get your point. Like, we were, I think the reason we had that emotional feeling back then is because nobody trusted the owner. We didn't ever think we'd be back there again.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why I didn't feel that way walking out this time is because I trust the owner and I know we'll be back next year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I cried after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl this past season.
This past season?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
not the first one?
You know, The first one, I was here at work, so I was busy. This past one, I got to watch at home. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think I teared up,
all right.
You know, and
So you cry in sports movies? You don't cry in like movies like Armageddon?
Oh, I cried all the movies. Oh,
yeah. Anytime when he rips
and
the patch.
I don't want to miss it.
Yeah,
thing.
I would say the Aerosmith hug on the ground was when waterworks when he start
rips,
coming.
When he rips the patch off and he says, "You go take care of my daughter." I'm getting chills now. I'm like, oh crap!
I don't cry at that part. When Ben Affleck lands and he puts the ring on. That's the moment for me and Art. Movie, I'll cry.
He rips the patch off to give to Billy Bob Thornton, and then he goes, "Go take care of my daughter," or something like that, dude. It's every single, and then I cry in Simon Birch every time I watch it.
Oh yeah, that was a crier too. Yeah,
God's Instrument.
What about the end of Seinfeld? Did you cry when they put?
No, I did not.
No. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Free Willy, I cried in when he does like.
Why are you naming movies like Free Willy and Simon Birch?
Because that actually
these
is
are deep cuts.
Those are emotional endings. I don't cry in a ton of movies. I do cry. I did cry in Forrest Gump when he like
it's my favorite movie of all
time.
When
he asked Jenny, he's like, "Is he like me?" And she's like, and he's just sitting there, and they go sit next to each other. I'm like, "Damn it!"
Yeah, those things hit differently now. Being a dad, too.
Right.
You're like,
for sure.
They hit so differently now. You know, being a father and whatnot.
What were we talking about?
Simon Birch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sports things we've cried at. I'm trying to think of the other last ones that I've cried at.
Did you cry in the AFC Championship game loss in 2019 to the Patriots?
No, I was more pissed.
No, because talk about work. That was, I was looking at flights to Atlanta for the entire staff. Yeah. So
I was sitting with Andrew Benintendi, who was on the phone with his dad crying because they're Bengal fans.
Wait, 19 was the Patriots.
I'm talking about the Patriots.
Oh, the Patriots.
Patriots. Oh, yeah. You're talking about,
I didn't have time to cry.
I was more pissed at the rest of that game.
I was just like, we got out of there fast.
I cried at the end of Terminator 2 when he puts his thumb up and he goes into the lava.
You know what he said?
I'll be back.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, man. The ending of Con Air made somebody cry on the text line.
I never saw that.
He gives his daughter the bunny?
That's full of blood of Cyrus the Virus? Or is it Bad Billy Bendelman? That's a deep cut there.
No, it's Cyrus the Virus.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. You probably did cry at the birth of both of your children.
No, not even close.
Okay,
I wasn't even looking.
My dad cried in disappointment. God, a boy.
I'll be honest with you. I thought our second child was a boy. I'm like, oh my God, that's the umbilical cord. I'm like, oh,
you're so mentally fried, you can't even get tears going.
Yeah,
at the birth of your kid.
What's the angle? Are you at shoulder length? Or are you like front row?
No, you're down.
Oh, I was in I was in Canada, that far north.
Oh,
you were.
You weren't anywhere near the equator?
I wouldn't even look until they were completely wiped.
Well, we were C-section both times.
Okay, so that's different.
The first one, I'm like, God, what is that awful smell? They're like, that's your wife's flesh. I'm like, oh.
No, I was DJing off my iPad, and I was.
You were DJing?
Oh yeah.
What was the song of choice when the first kid was born?
Return of the Mac.
That's awesome.
That's a great song.
What about the second child? Return of the Mac.
Just on a repeat.
I don't even remember what the second one was.
I was in the closet getting the free granola.
Oh, I wouldn't even because I don't like fluids, blood, anything like that. So I would not
pass out.
I would not look until I said
we're both yours natural.
Yeah.
So you know, C-section.
No.
So you wouldn't have made it through a C-section then because the smell.
I wouldn't have been in the room. I would have had mother-in-law. Or, nope.
Yep. And then they thought on the second one they left an instrument inside her.
Are you serious?
Oh God, yes.
Like a scalpel.
I think it was like cotton swabs or something because they do like a count at the end, you
cotton
know, to make
swabs
sure.
An instrument?
And so then they had to like do like an X-ray to see if they left anything inside of her.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, well, how about this for the round table?
Sports.
What's your biggest hot take for the rest of the football season?
The Chiefs need to make a wide receiver trade.
Who do you want?
I think Amari Cooper makes a ton of sense. He's not expensive. He's good. It's 1 year. Let's get over the hump, and then we reset after three.
Juan Soto or Blake Snell?
Juan Soto.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think there's any reason why we're not going to get Juan Soto here.
Okay.
I think it's a lock.
Bob Fesco or Dusty Likens?
Mac Morey.
That's right.
Steven Spector, you heard him. 500 more subscribers, and we get lunch at 801 Chop House, apparently.
There you go.
Or Smokehouse, and Bob knows a few people there. Thanks for listening to the Roundtable here on Fesco and Dusty. And of course, the Roundtable brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Coming up, a baseball cliche we've all accepted. 2024 Royals, that's all in the other segment, and I'm going to give you a chance right now. You got to do this right now. You got to call Mac. Number 6, call Mac. I got a $50 Zarda gift card for you. All you got to do is tell Mac who your favorite Barry is and be caller number 6. And you get $50 from Dusty Likens to Zarda
$50 to Zarda. Call MACB, caller number 6, and tell him your favorite berry. 913-586-7965. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5
The Clean.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
All right, we kind of got a little in too deep on that last topic.
That's okay. It's all right.
I'm like you. I don't know if I could witness the birth of my child. Because
but everything just happens. Like
when
you know?
Sure it does. When I went to Heartland Men's Health and they drew my blood for like just like how they do it, I had to have 6 ice packs and a Diet Coke. I'm a wuss, dude.
Nah, I am too.
I don't deal with needles, blood, mucus, poop.
I don't think any of us really deal with that, but you like
some people can. Some people just go up to a kid, wipe that snot right off that nose thing, and just get on with it, dude.
You will once it's yours. It's no, completely, I won't. Oh, you will. Because I said the same thing. I'm not changing a diaper.
I didn't say I wouldn't change a diaper. I'm just saying that like, there's certain like mucus, man.
You just do. You just do. It just happens, and it's just you just find yourself like, okay, I got to do what I got to do, right? Which means free foaling this Friday, all Fridays in October from 2 to 6. You got to do what you got to do, right? Free foaling. Let's go. Get out there early from 2 to 6. Get your foal on for free. If you're there before 6 o'clock, they'll let you foal around for nothing. And they'll have rotating drink specials, seasonal selections for the fall. Just tell them you heard it here on 96.5 The Fan, and they'll let you in for free. You can make reservations at foalingkc.com.
Shout out to Nick Gard. I'm a little bit apologetic here. You have $50 to Hy-Vee, who's partners with Zarda. That is on me. I am new at this radio thing. I'm not going to take full responsibility on that, but that is on me. $50 to Hy-Vee, Nick, so you're good. Like, now you can just go get a nice bottle of bourbon. You can spend money on what you want to buy this weekend, or you can save it for next Thursday and get a couple steak dinners. But, yeah, you have $50 to Hy-Vee, Nick, so congratulations on winning to Nick Gard. Tailgate talk, baby. We can talk about food this weekend. You're going to be solo. Well, maybe not all day Sunday. Your wife will probably be back Sunday.
Sunday night. Late Sunday night. I think she'll be back by midnight.
Taco pizza and a gummy bear?
You know, I'm thinking the taco pizza at Casey's does sound pretty good, right? Like, I told my daughter she could have some friends over and, you know, do a sleepover type thing if she wanted to. So I'll be willing to get the pizzas and whatnot. But tonight we're going to some Mexican restaurant out in Bayshore for the big game to tailgate beforehand.
Bayshore
versus Tongi tonight, a Mitch Holtis dream matchup.
Tongue and Oxy? Is there a split?
There is. So this is a big one. This is a big rivalry game tonight. Like I said, my friend Ralph's son, Roman, should be going to Tongi, but wanted to go to Bayshore because it's a better football program. Roman's a hell of a tight end, by the way. He better play big tonight or he's going to have to answer to me. So there's a lot of people with a lot of bad blood. It could be like Yankees Royals 2.0 with benches clear, and I'm hoping for something good tonight. Let's go.
Bench is clear. This is Nick Gard. Hy-Vee sounds good. Awesome. There you go. All right. We're off the hook. I was so nervous, man. I pulled that gift card out, and I was like, this doesn't taste hard. Oh, God, no. Man, I don't know what sounds good this weekend. You know what really sounds good is pork chops.
Pork chops always sound good.
I'm telling you, man.
Pork chops always sound good.
My wife porked me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was that our greatest drop this week?
My wife porked me.
I don't know.
I mean, this week, that's an old timer.
Yeah. Well, that happened this week.
I know. But I'm saying like
oh, you're saying it's going to go on forever.
Yeah, it's solid. Yeah, it's like that's when we're going to be going years from now, and that guy's going to go, I'm the voice of my wife porked me.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know, man. Pork chops on the grill, little Caribbean jerk marinade, do a little chopped Caesar salad. I eat done. A little side. Have you gotten this at Hy-Vee yet? I don't know what your take is on macaroni and cheese, but they have a Cracker Barrel mac and cheese at Hy-Vee. Yeah. Dear God.
You know, it's funny with mac and cheese. I do enjoy it, but like if you buy anything other than the Hy-Vee brand mac and cheese for the kids, they don't want it. It's unbelievable. They like the blue box.
Yeah, the blue box is always good.
They like the blue box. I mean, I've made homemade macaroni and cheese. I'm not interested in that.
Oh, I love that style of mac and cheese.
Well, you're an adult.
That's fair. I also still like chicken fingers.
You're an adult.
Fair. Man.
Have you met somebody who doesn't like chicken fingers?
I feel like the guy that was just in
He probably does not like chicken fingers.
You should call him on speakerphone and ask him and put it on the microphone. Be like, do you like chicken fingers? We're on the air asking if you want to know.
I just wonder if he has.
He probably doesn't like chicken fingers. Yeah.
I know Gold does, but he doesn't like them with anything but like ketchup. Mac, I know, loves chicken fingers. He loves those Applebee's chicken fingers. But no, Sunday is interesting because I don't really have anything going on. There's no Chiefs game.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's no, you know.
Saturday's loaded, right? Like, Saturday's just a full day of college football.
Not as loaded as we wanted it to be.
No, but you can get loaded.
Yeah, you can.
Just drive safe, call an Uber.
Mm-hmm. I'll be doing that later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the weekend. You get to tie one off.
It's the weekend. Let me have me some fun.
That's right. But no, what are you guys doing for food? 913-586-7969.
Just making it up.
913-586-7965.
Yeah.
I like chicken fries, not chicken fingers. Too bready, not enough meat to put in my mouth. Pork shoulder steaks from Costco.
All right.
Hamburger, mac and cheese, mustard, ketchup, and basically a mac and cheese burger.
All right. That sounds good. A mac and cheese burger. I kind of like that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little ooey sounds gooey gas. Surprise.
Do you wish your fiance's name was Cheese so you could go around as mac and cheese?
Very, very glad that that's not the case.
Yeah, that's not, yeah.
No, I'm good.
What if her last name? Hi, I'm Mac. This is Cheese.
This is Cheese.
Or if her name was a Doodle.
Oh, jeez. Or.
What if her last name was a Roni?
A Roni, yeah.
This is Mac and this is a Roni. Do you guys go as Mac and Cheese for Halloween? You do one of those couple costumes?
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing this year. That's a good idea.
You don't
bring
dress
that up
and she just goes as a block of cheese. We're Mac and Cheese.
Bob, I live in Pacer. We just had homecoming parade last night to get ready for the game today. I love that you're talking about it on the radio.
Hell
see
yeah.
You out there.
I'll be out there tonight. Let's go. I got to root for Pacer, but I got two Tongi hats. I guess I can't wear those hats tonight because I am going to be pulling for Pacer tonight because that's where Roman plays, so.
From the 913, you know I like my chicken fried, cold beer on a Friday night.
There you go. Ooh. Pair of jeans that fit just right.
And, you the know and the radio up.
That's right. You know whose walk-up song that was?
Matt Stairs.
Matt Holiday. Close. It was Matt. Yeah.
No, Matt Stairs' walk-up song was Stone Cold Steve Austin's Glass Shattering. That's what I was all in. I was like, I like this guy. He hits like a slow-pitch softball player.
I'll tell you
player.
A story sometime about Matt Stairs, man.
Okay.
Oh, we're running out of time.
Ah, shoot. I thought you were getting ready to do it.
Yeah, I thought you were going to get in Zellas.
Somebody says, Renfest is going to be lit on Sunday eating a turkey leg. That is the perfect thing to do, right?
Yeah. Matt Stairs had in his contract with the Royals, he had to have a suite on the road. That's a baller move right there.
Need me a suite.
We're doing a fish fry and shrimp boil this weekend after the pumpkin patch at Faulkner's Ranch. I've been there.
Oh, yeah?
It's a good place. They have those nice little, like...
You ever have Faulkner's disease?
Nope.
Yeah. The syndrome.
But they have, like every other pumpkin patch place, they do have those nice, like, pumpkin, cinnamon, whatever donut things.
That's right.
Golly, dude, I could eat my weight in that. Thanks, everybody, that came out this week. We hope to have you back again next week. Shout out to the Royals organization. Shout out to the Royals.
Good job,
167
Royals.
Days until spring training starts. Shout out to Mac Morey for putting this thing together, Bob Fesco for being a guy, and myself for just being here. Go do nice things for somebody this weekend. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind. Coming up next, it's Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City.
Listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.